Well, happy Sabbath, dear ones. Welcome to our main church service on this ninth day of March, 2024. Welcome to those that are joining us also on the recording or listening on the phone. Glad to have each one of you in fellowship. I have one announcement before we get into our service, and that announcement is that tomorrow morning about 2 a.m., we are going to daylight savings time here in Oregon, and many other states across America are doing the same. And so we spring forward an hour, meaning we lose an hour. So the meeting for those that do not follow daylight savings will be an hour earlier next Sabbath, for like the next 6 months, right? So just bringing that to your attention that if you don't follow daylight savings time in your particular state or your particular country, then the meetings will begin an hour earlier next Sabbath. So that's the one announcement. And our opening song for today's service is titled Trust and Obey. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey.
Go ahead, dear sister.
Go ahead, Sister Joy.
Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies.
There we go. Sorry about that, dear ones. So our sermon today is titled, The Day of Worship God Has Chosen. And this is part 9 in this series. And again, you can find the quotes I'll be referring to on our website at lightministries.com/ID341.htm. And as we've already discovered in the first 8 parts of the series, it was after sin had entered the world that 2 groups were formed. One chose to rebel against God, they chose other gods to worship, and they chose to worship these gods on different days of the week, particularly on the first day of the week or Sunday. But another group chose to remain loyal and obedient to God and keeping His commandments, and that included keeping the seventh-day Sabbath holy. So when you looked at these two groups, you could see that they were differentiated from each other by the day they chose to worship their God on. One group chose to worship on Saturday, the seventh day, and another group chose to worship on other days of the week, including Sunday. And we're told in Ezekiel 20, verses 12 and 20. Moreover, also I gave them my Sabbath, says God, to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord that sanctify them. And hallow my Sabbaths, and they shall be a sign between me and you, that ye may know that I am the Lord your God. So we see here that the Sabbath is a sign or a mark that differentiates God's followers from all other types of followers. But not everybody understands this truth. And many have various reasons why they believe that the Seventh-day Sabbath is no longer of the same importance today like it was in the past, particularly since Christ was born, lived, died, was resurrected, and ascended to heaven. They believe that now, after the resurrection and ascension, things have changed. And so we began exploring these various reasons that people have, comparing these with the scripture of truth. And last time we examined the reason that people use against keeping God's Sabbath day holy today, and that reason was that since the Apostle Paul commanded the church at Corinth to take up a collection for the saints, and then he mentioned the first day of the week, that this day must have been a public worship service being held on Sunday, thus proving that Sunday had taken the place as a worship day and as God's Sabbath in this New Testament period. But when we explored this idea, we recognized that Paul didn't say, place your alms in the church treasury on the first day of the week. But he simply stated, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store. We then saw that the Corinthian church did not begin assembling for public worship on Sunday, because Paul was simply telling them that on Sunday, the first day or the beginning of each new week, you should lay aside at home some portion of the money that you had earned the previous week. And so then, before you had a chance to spend it all up during the new week, you would already have some set aside for God's cause that you could then give to Paul when he would come again. So instead of this reason showing that Sunday had taken the place of Saturday as God's worship day, it instead revealed that Paul was telling individuals to set aside some of their money in the very beginning of each new week before they had a chance to spend it all up and thus would have little or nothing to give to God when he would return. Last time we also examined another reason that people have against keeping God's Seventh-day Sabbath holy today. And that reason was that since the disciples gathered together on the day of the Lord's resurrection, which we know to be Sunday, that they then were meeting on that day to commemorate the Lord's resurrection. And so then this would prove that Sunday had already become the new Sabbath in the new covenant. But we then discovered that the disciples were not meeting together to celebrate the Lord's resurrection on Sunday, because most of them did not yet believe that Jesus had indeed been raised from the dead. They were instead assembled together in order to eat a common meal, and since they were afraid of the Jews, they closed and locked the doors. And when Christ then visited them during this secret meeting, it was not to sanction Sunday as being the new Sabbath, but was simply to encourage the weak faith of the disciples in him being the real Messiah, the real Son of God, and that he was indeed alive and not dead. But what about the other major reasons why people believe that the Seventh-day Sabbath is no longer to be kept holy today like it was before Christ died? And that's what we're going to be investigating into in this sermon. Now, if you look at quote number two, another reason that people use against keeping God's Seventh-day Sabbath holy today is the claim that since the Apostle Paul once broke bread upon the first day of the week, as we're told in Acts 20, verse 7, then the believers were actually gathered together to celebrate communion and to worship God, which then would prove that God's holy Sabbath day had been transferred from Saturday to Sunday in this new covenant time. And so when you compare this belief with what the scripture teaches, you would find that the apostolic church at Jerusalem broke bread every day. We're told in Acts 2 verses 42 to 6. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat or food with gladness and singleness of heart. So if one instance of breaking bread at Troas upon Sunday made it God's Sabbath in the New Covenant period, then wouldn't the breaking of bread on other days of the week also be sufficient to make these God's Sabbath days as well? And of course you know that that's ridiculous, because God only has one day that he's chosen as his Sabbath. So this shows us that there is no scriptural proof that just because Paul broke bread upon a Sunday, that it was because they were celebrating communion, and thus it was now God's holy Sabbath day. But this does show us that people will try to grasp at a single instance in which Paul had an evening meeting on Sunday, and they ate some food on that day, and then they try to use this one instance to prove that the Sabbath had been changed, while at the same time they overlook all the other clear facts that reveal that this same Apostle Paul preached every seventh day Sabbath, and not just to the Jews, but also to the Gentiles. And you can find this in Acts chapter 13, verse 14, verse 42. Verse 44, Acts 16, verse 13, Acts 17, verse 2, Acts 18, verse 4. So here's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 different scriptures showing that Paul preached every seventh day Sabbath, not just to the Jews, but also to the Gentiles, versus one text that vaguely represents them eating bread on a Sunday without any kind of connection to it being a worship day. But where did this support for this particular teaching and belief come from? Where was the origins? Who was the first one to preach it? That since Paul broke bread upon a Sunday, then they were holding communion, and then Sunday instead of Saturday is now the day to worship God in the new covenant. Where did this idea come from? And it's not a modern idea. If you look at quote number 3, the Catholic Church teaches, and this is from the Catholic Encyclopedia, volume 14, the section titled Sunday, published July the 1st, 1912, carries the imprimatur of John Cardinal Farley, who is the Archbishop of New York, states this. Sunday was the first day of the week, according to the Jewish method of reckoning. But for Christians, it began to take the place of the Jewish Sabbath in apostolic times as the day set apart for the public and solemn worship of God. The practice of meeting together on the first day of the week for the celebration of the Eucharistic sacrifice is indicated in Acts 20, verse 7, 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2, and Apocalypse or Revelation 1, verse 10. It is called the Lord's Day. In the Didache, number 14, the injunction is given, on the Lord's Day, come together and break bread and give thanks, offer the Eucharist, after confessing your sins that your sacrifice may be pure. Going back quite a while. Also in the Universal Catholic Catechism, part 2, the celebration of the Christian mystery, chapter 3, titled, When is the Liturgy Celebrated? This section is titled The Lord's Day. It is number 1166, paragraph-wise, from the Vatican. It states, by a tradition handed down from the apostles, which took its origin from the very day of Christ's resurrection, the Church celebrates the Paschal mystery every seventh day, which day is appropriately called the Lord's Day or Sunday. So here they actually change the order of the days of the week and make Sunday the seventh day instead of Saturday. Another quotation is from the Catholic Encyclopedia, volume 13, under the section The Sabbath in the New Testament. This states, the Gentile converts held their religious meetings on Sunday, Acts 20, verse 7, 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2, and with the disappearance of the Jewish Christian churches, this day was exclusively observed as the Lord's Day. So these statements show us that this teaching and particular belief that because Paul broke bread upon Sunday, then they were therefore holding communion, and Sunday instead of Saturday is now the day to worship God in the New Covenant, isn't found written in the Bible at all. So it's not a doctrine, it's not a belief of God taught in the Scriptures. But this belief is instead found to be a teaching and a doctrine from the Roman Catholic Church. So this means that if any non-Catholic believer, if any Protestant uses this argument that because Paul broke bread on a Sunday, it's therefore holding communion and Sunday now is God's Sabbath day, they're forced to rely upon the teachings of Catholicism and not upon the Holy Scriptures inspired of God in order to teach that. Its foundation is in Catholicism, not in the Bible. Now, another reason that people use against keeping God's seventh-day Sabbath holy today is, and if you look at quote number 4, they reason that the Bible mentions that the Holy Spirit descended upon the disciples on the day of Pentecost. This is Acts chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. And it's then claimed that this great event occurred on a Sunday, thus proving that the first day of the week should be observed today instead of the seventh day, Sabbath of the Lord. But even if the day of Pentecost occurred on a Sunday, it would still need to be proven that this occurrence therefore made Sunday God's Sabbath. Now, the Bible reveals that it was the Feast of Pentecost itself and not the particular day of the week on which it occurred that God designed to honor. The day of Pentecost is named, but the day of the week on which it occurred is not named. So this fact reveals that God wanted to honor the antitype or the fulfillment of the Feast of Pentecost occurring and not the day of the week on which it occurred. The ancient slaying of the Passover lamb on the 14th day of the first month met its antitype or fulfillment in the death of the Lamb of God upon that same day, 1500 years later. You can find this in Exodus 12, John 19, and 1 Corinthians 5, 7. The ancient offering of the first fruits on the 16th day of the first month met its antitype or fulfillment in the resurrection of our Lord on that same day. The first fruits of them that slept. That's from Leviticus chapter 23, 1 Corinthians 15 verses 20 to 23, and Acts 1 verses 1 and 2. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost fulfilled the type of the ancient festival or feast of Pentecost. So it was not the particular day in which these events occurred that was of importance, but instead that these ancient symbolic ceremonies and services were meeting their fulfillment in these events. So, because God spoke nothing about respecting the day in which Pentecost occurred shows that there's no biblical proof for a change in the timing of God's weekly Sabbath. So this means that God's holy Sabbath still occurs today, just like it has done since creation, on the seventh day of each week, which we know to be Saturday today. So then this teaching and particular belief that the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost occurred on a Sunday and therefore Sunday now instead of the Sabbath, instead of Saturday is now the day to worship God, is not found written in the Bible at all. So it's not a belief. It's not a doctrine taught of God. Even though many people have been deceptively led to believe that it is indeed taught there. God warns us in Proverbs 30 verse 6, add thou not unto his words, in other words, don't add anything into the scripture, lest he reprove thee and thou be found a liar. So because this particular belief is not found established in God's word, then when any Protestant or any Catholic or non-Catholic believer uses the argument that the outpouring of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost occurred on a Sunday, and now Sunday instead of Saturday is the day to worship God, they're forced to rely upon the teachings of pure human reasoning and tradition, and not upon the truth of God's holy word in order to believe that. It's assumption. It's not Bible fact. Now, next time we'll examine the last major reason that people use against keeping God's holy Sabbath day. And then we'll see if God's inspired word supports that belief or not. So we hope to see you next time, dear ones. And praise God again for his holy word of truth. All we have to do is take whatever we believe or whatever people tell us is the truth and test it by God's word. If it agrees, it's the truth. If it disagrees, then it's not the truth. Our closing song is Don't Forget the Sabbath. God said, remember it. Let us not forget that. Don't forget the Sabbath, the Lord our God hath blessed. Of all the week, the brightest, of all the week, the best. It brings repose from labor, it tells of joy divine. Its beams of light descending with heavenly beauty shine. Welcome, welcome, ever welcome, blessed Sabbath day. Welcome, welcome, ever welcome, blessed Sabbath day.
Keep the Sabbath holy and worship him today, who said to his disciples, I am the living way. And if we meekly follow our Savior here below, he gave us of the fountain whose streams eternal flow. Welcome, welcome, ever welcome, blessed Sabbath day. Welcome, welcome, ever welcome, blessed Sabbath day. Day of sacred pleasure, his golden hour will spend in thankful hymns to Jesus, the children dearest friend. O gentle loving Savior, how good and kind thou art. A precious is thy promise to dwell in every heart. Welcome, welcome, ever welcome, blessed Sabbath day. Welcome, welcome, ever welcome, blessed Sabbath day.
Amen. And you know what makes the Sabbath blessed? It's the Lord. He's the Lord of the Sabbath. With his presence in our midst, we are blessed. Please join with me for closing prayer. Precious Father, thank you so very much for again giving us thy word of life, giving us Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for revealing the truth to us, living the truth in human nature and giving us that perfect pattern to follow. Thank you also for being the Lord of the Sabbath. And that it's the same Sabbath today as it was 6,000 years ago when you made it at creation. Help us to reveal that we love you more than we love anything else, more than we love the church, more than we love creeds, more than we love commandments of men, custom and tradition. More than we love our own beliefs. Help us to set everything aside except your truth. Let us live by every word that proceedeth out of your mouth. Help us to fall in love with the truth as it is in Jesus. That way we'll be set free. in Christ. We will no longer be bound in chains to anything else. Thank you, dear Savior, for breaking the chains of bondage to error, to falsehood, to lies, and allowing our feet to be placed solidly upon the rock of truth. Thank you also for the grace and the strength to follow the truth and not just say we understand its truth, but then not obey it. We also thank you that this world is being filled with the glory as it shines from the face of our Savior. The truth is being seen. The message of salvation is spreading to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. And the end is soon. Help us indeed to be ready, to be watching, to be praying, to be working in letting our light shine, so that we will not be caught sleeping and be lost, but we will be found watching and waiting. Thank you for coming soon. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. So next time we'll examine the last major reason that people use in believing that God's Sabbath day has been changed from Saturday to Sunday or another day of the week. So we hope to see you then, dear ones. Are there any thoughts, any questions, any comments, any insights, testimonies, anything else that you'd like to share? Please go right ahead.
I just want to share a song that I haven't heard sung in a while. And it's, You Will See Your Lord Come. You will see your Lord coming, you will see your Lord coming, you will see your Lord coming in a few more days. You will hear Christ's silver trumpet, you will hear Christ's silver trumpet, you will hear Christ's silver trumpet in a few more days. Hear the band of music, hear the band of music, hear the band of music which is sounding through the air. You will see the saints arising, you will see the saints arising, you will see the saints arising in a few more days. Then we'll travel to the city, we will travel to the city, we will travel to the city in a few more days. Hear the band of music, hear the band of music, hear the band of music which is sounding through the air. Then we'll shout our sufferings over, we will shout our sufferings over, we will shout our sufferings over in a few more days. Then we'll spend eternity, we will spend eternity, we will spend eternity with our Lord Jesus Christ. Hear the band of music, hear the band of music, hear the band of music which is sounding through the air. You will see your Lord coming. You will hear Christ's silver trumpet. You will see the saints arising in a few more days. Then we'll travel to the city. Then we'll shout our sufferings over. Then we'll spend eternity with our Lord Jesus Christ. Hear the band of music. Hear the band of music. Hear the band of music, which is sounding through the air.
Amen. Thank you,
dear. And to Rob, I was going with the sound this morning with the children's story. The hymn was supposed to be a temple made of time. I was using the melody to that one to the children. Is it possible that we can sing that? I've been singing that in my mind mostly all morning. I'm not going to sing it, dear Elder Rob. I just had the melody. Can any one of the sisters will be able to share it? Thank you.
God took 6 days and created earth and moon, the stars and sun. On the seventh day, he rested from the work that he had done. Then he blessed it, made it holy as a gift for every man, to remind us where we came from and just how this world began. Holy day, purified, set apart, sanctified, entering the joy divine. In a temple made of time.
See him worship on the Sabbath as his weekly custom was. Feel the fury of the rabbis, for he would not heed their laws. So they killed him on a hillside, as the sun began to fade. But he even kept the Sabbath, as they laid him in the grave. Holy day, purified, set apart, sanctified, entering to joy divine in a temple made of time.
All forsaken and forgotten, desecrated and profane, but the sacred word commandment is still valid and unchanged. Hear the Father gently calling, if you love me, keep each one. Not for merit or salvation, but because you love my son. Holy days, glorified, set apart, sanctified, entering joy divine in a temple made of time. Holy day, purified, set apart, sanctified, enter in, joy divine, in a temple made of time.
Dia Santos, El Señor, apartado especial, y de Dios un templo es, día para celebrar. Amén. Sister Christina, I could probably give you the first one today and try another time for you for the rest of it. En seis días Dios ha hecho cielo, tierra, luna y sol, y el séptimo gozoso de su obra reposo. Lo bendijo, lo hizo santo, como un don nos lo entregó. Nos recuerda nuestro origen, como todo comenzó. Día Santo del Señor, apartado especial, y de tiempo en templo es, día para celebrar. Jesucristo, nuestro ejemplo, cada sábado guardador, de gran glorio hecho el objeto por tu santa perfección. I think I have to get the rest of it for you, dear Sister Christina. My voice is going on, but by God's grace.
This was a request put in the room. We love thy Sabbath, Lord. We love thy Sabbath, Lord, and worship at thy will. Oh, may these hours sweet peace afford and deeper faith instill.
Thine angels sang for joy, creation's work to see. We to this day would raise our hearts in grateful praise to thee.
Praise to thy wondrous love that sealed a sacred day, a sign that all may understand we own thy sovereign's way.
O great Creator King, through thy redeeming grace, renew and sanctify our hearts, that we may see thy face. And with the world throne,
upon Mount Zion be, and joyful sing a song, a song, through all eternity.
Amen. Thank you, dear sister, for that suggestion, that request. Are there any other requests, any other songs that you'd like to sing, any other comments, insights, testimonies, thoughts that you'd like to share? Please go right ahead, dear ones. Well, here's a scripture song dealing with the Sabbath. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work, which God created and made. Genesis 2:2-3. Can you think of another scripture song that has the Sabbath in it? Now here's one. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord our God. Exodus 20:8-10. Can you think of another one with the Sabbath in it?
Don't forget the Sabbath.
Yeah, that is one.
Well, we're dealing with scripture songs. Any other scripture song can you think of that has the Sabbath in it?
Oh, I was just thinking of Sabbath songs. Sorry.
How about just mentioning the seventh day, but it's a children's song. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 for us. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 for us. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 for us. And the seventh is for Jesus.
Amen. Now here's another scripture song with the Sabbath in it. Cry aloud and spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgressions, and the house of Jacob their sins. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thine own pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord honorable, and shalt honor him not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth. Isaiah 58:1-14. Can you think of other scripture songs with the Sabbath in it?
Well, I can't think of another scripture song with Sabbath in it, but I do have a question regarding this whole matter. I may have posed this question before, but it's very solemn on my part to wonder about. We were speaking about the word spell and spellbound earlier, verses, and it seems to me that all of apostate kingdom really is spellbound with this first day of the week with various Sabbaths, like at its call. My question is, and I guess I'm in a way looking for a little more encouragement, wondering how is that to be really broken in such a way to where it brings God so much glory in these days. How is that to happen?
A lot of times when the issue of Saturday versus Sunday come up, people look at it as a legalistic way to obtain salvation. And there really is no way any sinner can get salvation by keeping God's law. They can live a better righteous life, but that in itself cannot in any way undo the sins they've already committed in breaking God's law. So in focusing just upon the Sabbath as the fourth commandment and holding up to the people that they've broken God's law and they need to keep the Sabbath, et cetera, it is not going to have much effect upon the desire to keep it. But when you put Christ in the picture with the law, they fall in love with Christ because he sacrificed his life that they may have life and escape from death. They see that he's then the great lawgiver, the God at Mount Sinai who spoke the Ten Commandments, including the Sabbath. They see that he declared himself to be the Lord of the Sabbath in the New Covenant. So it's their love for Christ that leads them to want to keep the Sabbath holy. So if you uplift the law without Christ, the people don't see any reason to change. If you uplift Christ without the law, the people don't see any reason to change. Christ did it all for us. We just sit down and do nothing. But when you uplift Christ and the law together, then they see that they cannot truly love Christ if they continue to break the law that he's the Lord of. So then it's out of love for Christ that they keep the law. Not because the law condemns them, but because they find freedom from condemnation in Christ. And so if they love Christ, they're going to want to keep his law. He provides the grace and the strength to keep his law, and thus they're not condemned by it because they're hid in Christ. So as more people recognize Christ in the law and choose to follow Christ by keeping the law, he is glorified. He is uplifted. This truth of Jesus and the gospel and the way to escape from sin and condemnation spreads farther and farther around the earth until the entire world is glorified by that gospel of truth. So then, when Christ and the law are uplifted, people are forced to have to choose. Do they love the church more, and thus they don't keep God's law? Or do they love Christ more, and thus they have to leave the church? So when the message of the loud cry combines with the message of Christ and his righteousness, you have the glory of God filling this earth as the waters cover the sea. The two go together, just as the first and second angel's message went together, the second and the third angel's message went together, the third and the fourth angel's message goes together. When those messages combine in one, you have individuals faced with recognizing that they can't have Christ and their corrupt church at the same time. If they accept Christ, they have to leave the church. If they accept the church, they have to leave Christ. They can't have both at the same time. That's when decisions are made. That's when people recognize that it's not legalism in order to keep the law. It's loving Christ who gives you the ability to keep it and thus bring glory to the lawgiver, to God. And that's one reason why the independent ministries are never going to finish the work. Because they reject going out to be with Christ and choose the church instead. That's why none of the fallen churches are ever going to complete the work. Because they reject coming out to be with Christ and they choose the church instead. It's only even, those. Yeah, go ahead, brother.
Even if some of them like to go door knocking and things like that, why being the same way?
Yeah, where are they leading the converts to is the question. There's nothing wrong in going door knocking, and there's nothing wrong in passing out great controversies. There's nothing wrong in spreading the truth. But where are you leading the converts to that truth? Are you leading them to join the church that's corrupt and apostate? Well, then they're twice as ready for destruction as you are. Or are you leading them to Christ? Then they'll have salvation, free and clear. Yeah, it must be to Jesus. But so often, like with a lot of individuals connected with spreading the great controversy and going door knocking, etc., the desire to reach souls with the message of salvation is combined with the need for those people to join the church. And that's where all the efforts to lead them to Christ become undone. The same thing was going on in Christ's day. He told the Jews, you know, you have a fantastic missionary outreach program. You can pass sea and land to make one convert. But as soon as you connect them with your corrupt system, they're more ready for destruction than you are. So all the efforts to reach them with the oracles of God have been undone when they're connected with the corrupt system that's not following those oracles. It's the same today. That's why God cannot trust any church denomination. He can only trust those individuals who have chosen to leave Babylon and connect themselves with the Lamb of God who has taken away their sins. So the law and the gospel have to go together. Christ's righteousness and separation to Christ have to go together. The third angel's message and the fourth angel's message has to go together, or we're going to be on this wicked world much longer than we want to. Are there any other questions, thoughts, insights, comments that you'd like to make, dear ones? Please feel free.
Reminds me of a shepherd with their sheep. The sheep follow the shepherd because they're loving the shepherd, because they know he takes care of them. I think ministers are along the wayside telling the sheep where the shepherd is so they can follow the shepherd. But the shepherd's not in the church. He's on the hillside. The shepherd you find out about in the Bible. But there are guides, so to speak, pastors who lead the people to the shepherd.
Amen. And that's an excellent point. The under-shepherds are supposed to lead the sheep to follow the great shepherd. But a lot of times the under-shepherds lead the sheep to follow them. But great point, dear sister. And when you were talking about that, it brought to mind John chapter 10, verses 1 to 5. A lot of people miss the importance of this. Christ says here, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a liar. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth. The sheep hear his voice. He calleth his own sheep by name." And then what does the shepherd do? He leads them out of that place. This is the shepherd. Leads his sheep out. Verse 4. "And when he," the shepherd, "putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them." In other words, they follow him. "And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." So here we have Christ telling them that everybody who follows him as the shepherd, he's going to lead them out from where they are. And he's not going to abandon them out in the wilderness. He's going to go before them so they can continue to follow him. And then he warns in verse 5, "A stranger will they not follow." So someone who's going to say something different than the true shepherd, they're not going to follow. They're going to flee from him, for they do not know, they don't recognize the voice of strangers. So here we have the third and fourth angel's message in a different way. The third angel's message is Christ and his righteousness. That's the shepherd. The fourth angel's message is, as soon as the sheep hear the voice of Christ, then he leads them out of the sheepfold. He doesn't let him stay there. Christ separates from the sheepfold, and he leads all of his obedient sheep out as well. And when they're outside of the pen, outside of the church, right, Christ goes before them up that straight, narrow path. And the sheep follow him because they continue to obey his voice. Anyone who tries to say they've done wrong by leaving the sheepfold, they've done wrong by leaving the church, they have to come back because that's where they find God, etc., 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 they're not going to associate with those individuals, but they're going to flee from them and continue to follow the Savior. So when you have independent churches that tell you you have to remain members of an apostate church, that's not the voice of Christ, is it? That's not the voice of the Savior. The Savior says, go out, follow me. So then your duty is to flee from that independent church because it's the voice of a stranger, not the voice of the true shepherd. So not only do we have Christ telling the people to separate from the dirty sheepfold, you also have Christ telling every individual to flee from everyone else, every other fold that is not voicing the words of the shepherd. So if you're part of a church group who will not tell people to leave the fallen churches, will not preach the loud cry, Christ tells you to flee from them. It's quite amazing what's in the Bible, what's in the very words of Christ, when the Spirit opens your eyes to see. Any other thoughts, any other comments, please feel free.
Do you have the song, Jesus is Real to Me? It's just a chorus, so maybe you don't, but it goes, Jesus is real to me. Jesus is real to me. For he lives in my heart. This world has no part. For Jesus is real to me.
Looks like I got the wrong, the wrong hymn there. Let me see if I can find the right one. I found it. but it won't let me pull it in. It wants me to download it. It wants me to sign up for all these other things. So I'm sorry I can't share it, dear sister.
Sister Rose mentioned Give Me the Bible. I think you have that song.
Thank you, Mom. Sister Joan, thank you so much. I'm going to go after this one. I was thinking about Jesus being a shepherd and he calling us out for salvation. Give me the Bible, star of gladness gleaming, to share the wonder, lone and tempestuous. No storm can hide the peaceful radiance came, since Jesus came to seek and save the lost. Give me the Bible, holy message shining, thy light shall guide me in the narrow way. Precept and promise, law and love combine, till night shall vanish in eternal day.
Give me the Bible when my heart is broken, when sin and grief have filled my soul with fear. Give me the precious words by Jesus spoken. Hold up faith's lamp to show my Savior near. Give me the Bible, holy message shining, thy light shall guide me in the narrow way. Precept and promise, law and love combine, till night shall vanish in eternal day.
Give me the Bible, my steps enlighten. Teach me the danger of these arms below, that lamp of safety for the gloom shall brighten, that light alone the path of peace can show. Give me the Bible, holy message shining, thy light shall guide me in the narrow way. Precept and promise, law and love combining, till night shall vanish in eternal day.
Amen. Nice hymn to end today's service on, dear ones. I pray that you'll continue following the Savior, following the Shepherd, as he leads you directly to the city of God and eternal life. Don't ever follow the words of the stranger, only the Savior. Till we meet again, dear ones, keep looking up.
Keep looking up, thy God is still the same today. Keep looking up, he will not fail thee, come what may. Keep looking up, the darkest cloud will roll away. So do not doubt, but keep on looking up.